Hello, my name's Dave Embry, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program Number 330, Connecting the Dots, Part 4, more about evidentiary tributaries running between various elements that figure in the milieu of the terrorist blitzkrieg of September 11th of 2001. Let me stress that, like so many other people, I don't pretend to have all the answers about this event. It is still under investigation, but I think that as elements of this come to light and begin to surface, I think that despite the fact I don't claim that all of these connections are hard or necessarily significant connections, a clear pattern of authorship of this event by the Underground Reich emerges, and I would include 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue currently as part of the Underground Reich. We're going to begin with an article that I have a question about, and I'm going to ask assistance from members of the audience. We're going to be taking a look now at an international network allegedly connected to the events of September 11th, also running back in the direction of the first attack on the World Trade Center in 1993. And an organization is allegedly connected to this called the Muslim World League. Now, one of the questions I have, and I want to ask the assistance of audiences in helping to research this, is the Muslim World League also the World Muslim Congress? In other words, is it a renamed World Muslim Congress? Because like the World Muslim Congress has strong connections to the World Anti-Communist League, which changed its name to the World League for Freedom and Democracy. Is the Muslim World League the same thing as the World Muslim Congress? It could, various Arabic translations translate differently. In any event, take a look at some of the interesting evidentiary tributaries running between the Philippines, the events of 9/11/2001, the first attack on the World Trade Center, the AMIA and Israeli embassy bombings in Argentina in the early 90s, and the Oklahoma City bombing, a lot of different connections. This is from the Washington Post, again, of Sunday, September 30th of 2001. David Ottaway and Dan Morgan, scrutiny grows over Muslim charities. When Mahmoud Jabala left Egypt in 1991 after numerous arrests for alleged ties to a terrorist group, he quickly found a job with a Muslim charity funded by the Saudi government and royal family. Note the Saudi royal family connections to the World Muslim Congress, that in turn running back to the Grand Mufti, running to the Afghan support effort, which in turn overlaps elements of U.S. intelligence, the Bush administration, and the Iran-Contra and Iraq gate affairs, as we've looked at before. Continuing. Now, Jabala, who spent 3 years working as a teacher in Pakistan for the Saudi-financed International Islamic Relief Organization, is in custody in Canada. He is accused of being a member of the terrorist group Egyptian Islamic Jihad and of having repeated contact with two top lieutenants of Osama bin Laden, the suspected mastermind of the September 11th terrorist attacks in New York and Washington. The relief organization and the closely affiliated group the World Muslim League have come under growing scrutiny as investigators seek to trace the networks that support bin Laden's organization, Al-Qaeda. Jabala's murky past illustrates the difficulty of distinguishing between the charity's legitimate humanitarian activities and their possible assistance to terrorists. And again, is the Muslim World League the same as the World Muslim Congress? They both go back to, among others, the Saudi government and Saudi royal family. Skipping down. In the Philippines, bin Laden's brother-in-law, Mohammed Jalal Khalifa, headed the Manila branches of both the Islamic Relief Organization and the Muslim World League in the early 1990s. The Saudi-financed charities built mosques and provided social services to Muslims caught up in a separatist struggle led by Islamic radicals. But Philippine intelligence and police officials charged that Khalifa also used the organizations to funnel money to militant separatists in Mindanao. So note that Jalal Khalifa is a brother-in-law of Osama bin Laden. One of his daughters married Osama bin Laden's daughters, that is, married married Mullah Omar, the head of the Taliban. Mohammed bin Laden, his father, was also related by marriage to King Ibn Saud, the founder of Saudi Arabia, who placed it under the Wahhabi sect. So this is sort of all in the family. The Manson family sort of would be a comparison. And again, I don't want to be misunderstood as slandering Islam. In For the Record, program number 329, side B, we discussed Wahhabism as Islamo-fascism. And even the Prophet Muhammad predicted that Najd in Arabia would be the source of confusion and corruption. And that's where Wahhabism comes from. The following story is from the New York Times of Wednesday, October 3rd of 2001. It's by Mark Landler. It's datelined Manila, the Philippines, October 2nd. Headlined, Philippines offers U.S. its troops and bases. And this is about a connection between an Islamic radical group in the Philippines called Abu Sayyaf and the first World Trade Center bombing headed up or directed by Ramzi Youssef and also assisted greatly affected by Sheikh Rahman. And as we looked at in RFA 38, Sheikh Rahman, who was convicted and is serving time for the World Trade Center attack number one, also had his genesis, as did Ramzi Youssef and Osama bin Laden, with the Afghan Mujahideen support effort in the 1980s, and one of the key elements there, the World Muslim Congress, funded by the Saudis and founded by Haji Amin al-Husseini, an SS major and key Third Reich operative. Of Abu Sayyaf, its connections to World Trade Center 1, and to Ramzi Youssef, we read, skipping down, officials here believe that the Abu Sayyaf, which is about 300 members, received seed money from groups associated with Osama bin Laden, the Saudi-born suspect in last month's attacks. Mrs. Arroyo noted that, quote, Abu Sayyaf was established in 1990 or 91, and that's when those organizations were here, unquote. Last week, the Bush administration put the Abu Sayyaf on a list of 27 organizations expected to have their assets frozen because of what Washington says are links to Mr. bin Laden and other terrorist groups. Mrs. Arroyo said she believed the links between the Philippines and Mr. bin Laden did not last beyond 1995. By then, she said, the local organizations that funneled money to the Abu Sayyaf had closed up shop. In that year, the Philippine government arrested several suspected terrorists, including Abdul Hakim Murad, M-U-R-A-D, a Pakistani, who confessed to a plot to assassinate Pope John Paul II, blow up 12 American airliners in the skies over Asia, and fly a plane into CIA headquarters. One of Mr. Murad's roommates was Ramzi Ahmed Youssef, the Kuwaiti engineer who helped plan the bombings of the World Trade Center in 1993. He eluded Philippine authorities, but was arrested in Pakistan. So again, note the links here between Hakim Murad, Ramzi Youssef, the World Trade Center bombing number one, and Philippines-based, again, Abu Sayyaf organization, reportedly linked to Osama bin Laden. And bear in mind that in addition to Ramzi Youssef, one of the other convicted perpetrators of the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center bombing, when there are links between that and Osama bin Laden, was Sheikh Rahman, brought into the United States and protected by elements, note that term, of U.S. intelligence because of his participation in the Afghan support effort. The following is from the San Francisco Chronicle of Sunday, October 7th of 2001, a Washington Post story by Dan Egan, E-G-G-E-N, and Serge F. Kovaleski. It's headlined, U.S. Reveals Identity of Terror Attack Planner, and skipping down, of links between Sheikh Rahman's sons and Osama bin Laden, Sheikh Rahman convicted in connection with the first World Trade Center attack. Also involved with bin Laden's organization, although they have not been accused of direct involvement in the September 11th attacks, are two sons of the blind Egyptian cleric Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman, who was serving a life sentence in a U.S. prison for plotting a thwarted bombing rampage in New York. The two sons joined forces with bin Laden several years ago, bringing with them members of Gamaat-e-Islami, Egypt's largest militant group. U.S. officials say Asadallah Abdelrahman now runs a training center at bin Laden's Darunta camp complex, a site U.S. military authorities have targeted as a terrorist haven. So note, at least two evidentiary tributaries running through the Philippines in the direction of Osama bin Laden. Note the links between one of bin Laden's many in-laws and the Muslim World League is that the same as the World Muslim Congress. And note the connections to the first attack on the first World Trade Center and, in turn, the genesis of those individuals as warriors with the Afghan support effort. We're going to visit a section now of For the Record program number 92, done in the late spring of 1997, and we're going to take a look at an evidentiary tributary running between the first World Trade Center bombing and the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. A listener sent me a package that he or she downloaded from the Rocky Mountain News' website, and there is some excellent, really, really excellent coverage of the Oklahoma City bombing
in the Rocky Mountain News. And all of these articles come from the Rocky Mountain News. And this is from their website. You can visit their website at www.insidedenver.com/extra/bomb/0603okc2.htm. Once again, www.insidedenver.com/extra/bomb/0603okc2.htm. This first article is entitled Rest of Bombing Story and Mystery. Subtitled, Despite Prosecution, Nagging Questions About Conspiracy Theory Remain. It's a news analysis by Lou Kilzer, K-A-L-Z-E-R, and Kevin Flynn, F-L-Y-N-N, of the Rocky Mountain News. And this particular article is from June 3rd of 1997. And there is discussion of a possible Philippine connection, which, if allegation made by a witness is accurate, might indicate an evidentiary tributary running between the Oklahoma City bombing and the milieu implicated in the bombing of the World Trade Center in February of 1993. I've discussed some of the many connections, including Islamic fundamentalists that had been employed by U.S. intelligence in the Afghan War, in numerous broadcasts about the World Trade Center bombing. This particular section of this article is entitled The Philippine Connection. Nichols traveled often to the Philippines, where he married a mail-order bride. McVeigh's defense team interviewed a jailed Filipino terrorist, Edwin Angeles, A-N-G-E-L-E-S, who said he met with an American matching Nichols' description in 1992 on Mindanao, the hotbed of Islamic terrorism against the Philippine government. Angeles, again A-N-G-E-L-E-S, also claimed in his videotaped statement that his associate, Ramzi Youssef, participated in the meeting. Youssef, Y-O-U-S-E-F, is the alleged mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. In November of 1994, a month after the milk jug bomb failed in Arizona, Nichols set up a two-month trip to the Philippines where his wife was finishing school. Nichols left behind a letter for McVeigh indicating he might not return alive and that he should, quote, go for it, unquote. While Nichols was in his wife's hometown of Cebu City, Youssef also showed up there. He boarded a jumbo jet in Manila, planted a small bomb under his seat, and got off the plane in Cebu City. The flight continued, and the bomb went off en route to Tokyo, killing a Japanese tourist who had taken Youssef's seat. The plane landed safely. Youssef has been convicted in this crime, which authorities say was a practice run for a plot to bomb 11 U.S. airliners over the Pacific Ocean on a single day. Did a meeting between Youssef and Nichols really happen? Mage, that's Judge Richard Mage, barred McVeigh's lawyers from presenting evidence about a possible Philippines connection, ruling it irrelevant to the charges against McVeigh. So again, I'm obviously not in a position to state definitively whether or not this allegation is accurate, but this Edwin Angeles maintains that an American matching Nichols' description had met with Ramzi Youssef, the alleged mastermind of the World Trade Center bombing, and then later, when Nichols was in his wife's hometown of Cebu City, Ramzi Youssef also showed up there. So again, is there a connection between the World Trade Center bombing and the Oklahoma City bombing? That remains to be seen. I would note that that the funding for the World Trade Center bombing came from...
That came from Germany. And again, I've looked at many links between the Oklahoma City bombing and what I call the Underground Reich. The funding for the World Trade Center bombing came from Germany. In For the Record program number 328, we took a look at evidentiary tributaries running between the attack on the World Trade Center on 9/11 and also the Pentagon and the crashing of the airliner, well, what I call the terrorist blitzkrieg of 9/11-2001, and the bombings of an Israeli embassy, the Israeli embassy in Argentina in 1992, and the AMIA, Jewish Cultural Center, also in Argentina in 1994. There have been allegations that a fellow named Imad Muganaya, allegedly connected to the milieu of bin Laden as well as allegedly to Iraqi intelligence, and also the individual who tortured William Buckley to death, the CIA station chief in Lebanon. William Buckley, not to be confused with the American columnist of the same name and also with a CIA background, his capture and torture led to the Iranian weapons transfers and ultimately the Iran-Contra affair. Muganaya's name has been linked to the AMIA bombing and also to the bombing of the Israeli embassy in 1992. And what we're going to do now is to visit a section of For the Record program number 88. This from early 1997, this dealing with an alleged link between the milieu of the AMIA bombing and the World Trade Center bombing between the Oklahoma City bombing and the AMIA bombing, which in turn has evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the attack on 9/11/2001. Here, this is from For the Record program number 88. Dave researched and translated the following for us from La Nación. That's an Argentinian newspaper. And this is from La Nación's issue of Sunday, July 27th of 1997. And this concerns apparent connecting links between the milieu surrounding the Oklahoma City bombing and the milieu surrounding the AMIA bombing in 1994. That was a Jewish documentation center with information about fugitive Nazi elements in Argentina. It was destroyed in a huge bomb, and one of the names that has surfaced in connection with that was Manzer al-Kassar, the Syrian terrorist and drug dealer who was the major figure not only for securing East Bloc arms for the Contras, but he also was the major figure utilized by the Reagan and Bush administrations for securing the American arms for the Iranians. He also was credited by the DEA with bringing 20% of the heroin into the United States. Also a central figure in not only the Achille Lauro hijacking, but also in all likelihood the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103. Again, that individual was put on the White House payroll under the Reagan administration. He was the central figure in the Iran-Contra affair, the central figure in the Iran-Contra affair, and his name has surfaced in connection with the AMIA bombing. Those plotters now appear to have been connected with elements within the Argentinian Federal Police, and I also want to note that there is an apparent connection between those elements and the milieu surrounding the Oklahoma City bombing. I'm not saying the Oklahoma City bombing per se, although that may be the case. But again, there are some evidentiary tributaries running between the milieu of the AMIA bombing and the Oklahoma City bombing, and we have not been told about these in our media. And it is the absence of that type of coverage that leads me to suspect this is not a provocation. Again, a provocation is a type of psyop, a psychological operation, and the media coverage surrounding Oklahoma City is not what we would expect of a provocation, that type of psyop. Not that our government has not engaged in those in the past. Veteran listeners to my program know only too well that they have, but the media coverage surrounding Oklahoma City is not what would be expected of a provocation type of psyop. Again, research and translation credit for the following goes to Dave White. And again, this is from La Nación, an Argentinian daily, of Sunday, July 27th of 1997. The title, AMIA Bomb Plotters Connection. The article reads in part as follows. While investigating the Oklahoma City bombing, the FBI discovered that the Argentinian branch of Tom Metzger's White Aryan Resistance was located in the home of someone connected to the AMIA plotters. Timothy McVeigh, condemned to death for the attack on the federal building in Oklahoma City, belonged to the White Aryan Resistance. By the way, that is a strong possibility, but some have disputed that. Continuing. The FBI identified a group of 8 men connected to the AMIA bombing. 3 of the men used cellular telephones. An FBI undercover agent infiltrated the group nicknamed Los Cochitas, that's C-O-C-H-I-T-A-S, which formed part of a larger organization called POC, La División Protección al Orden Constitucional. So again, note that according to La Nación, the FBI discovered links between the AMIA bombing and Tom Metzger's White Aryan Resistance, to which some have alleged Timothy McVeigh belonged. One of the people who belongs to that organization was the aforementioned Dennis Mahone, the white supremacist leader with connections in Germany, such as Bernd Schmidt, who doubles as a German governmental agent and also a Nazi martial arts instructor. It was his martial arts school that served as sort of the operational base for German Nazis convicted in the deadly Solingen firebombing some years ago. Reprising an element that I read in the first half-hour segment, updating Oklahoma City, this from the San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, July 17th of 1997. This is an AP story, Dateline Oklahoma City, headlined, White Supremacist Takes Fifth in Oklahoma bombing probe. And again, this is about Dennis Mahone. Dennis Mahone of Tulsa, who operates a dial-a-racist hotline and is a member of the White Aryan Resistance, has denied involvement in the bombing. I would also note he took the Fifth in connection with the grand jury investigation. And note that according apparently to some FBI operatives who infiltrated the milieu of the AMIA bombing, there appear to be operational connections between that milieu and the milieu implicated in Oklahoma City. Not that the two events are necessarily directly connected, but there are certainly evidentiary tributaries running between the AMIA bombing and Oklahoma City. And yet, note that we have not heard about those in this country. There has been, for all intents and purposes, a media blackout on this potentially vital connection. And I've not seen anything about that in the American mainstream media or in the so-called alternative media, whether the right-wing press or the so-called progressive press, and note, as always, the use of the term so-called. That article, again, from La Nación of Sunday, July 27th of 1997. And that in turn excerpted from For the Record program number 88 from the spring of 1997. By the way, the Nazi party that, the German Nazi party that was advised by Bernd Schmidt, who himself is a German government agent, is called the Nationalistische Front, and among its advisors are a former associate of Otto Skorzeny of Odessa and Galen Organization fame, and also Otto Ernst Rehmer, another TSS officer and post-World War II underground Reich operative. I would also note that there are evidentiary tributaries running between the AMIA bombing and former Carlos Menem aide Mr. Yoma, who is his brother-in-law, and the Argentine embassy bombing, and Wenceslao Bunje, as his name would be pronounced in German, a member of the Bunge family. That's the same family that runs the Bunge and Born company that figured in the stock speculation that and the Were We Controlled scenario that I discussed at length in For the Record program number 327. More about the insider trading that apparently took place in connection with the 9/11/2001 attack. This is from the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, that is, of Saturday, September 29th of the year 2001, an article by Christian Bertelsen and Scott Winokur of the Chronicle. Its headline, Suspicious Profits Sit Uncollected. It reads in part, investors have yet to collect more than $2.5 million in profits they made trading options in the stock of United Airlines before the September 11th terrorist attacks, according to a source familiar with the trades and market data. The uncollected money raises suspicions that the investors, whose identities and nationalities have not been made public, had advanced knowledge of the strikes. Quote, usually if someone takes a windfall like that, you take the money and run, unquote, said the source who spoke on condition of anonymity. Again quoting, whoever did this thought the exchange would not be closed for 4 days. This smells real bad, unquote. The source and others in the financial industry speculate that the purchaser or purchasers, having initially assumed the money could be picked up without detection, now fear exposure or that the account has been frozen. The markets were closed for 4 days after the attack, giving investigators time to notice the anomalous trades. And skipping down, Israeli intelligence has released a report, or former Israeli intelligence, on the insider trading scam. This might perhaps be used as leverage against those that they believe were involved in this, and I believe that was the underground Reich. Skipping down. Meanwhile, in Herzliya, Israel, a group headed by former Israeli intelligence officials, the Interdisciplinary Center, a counterterrorism think tank, has issued a report on bin Laden's finances, quote, Black Tuesday, the world's largest insider trading scam, unquote, saying insiders profited by nearly $16 million. Well, as they probably know, that pales beside the half billion in 1963 dollars pocketed by the group that apparently did the Kennedy assassination and also collapsed the markets. That's a speculative element discussed in For the Record 327. More about the insider trading. Skipping down again in this article, the source familiar with the United Airlines trades identified Deutsche Bank Alex Braun, the American investment banking arm of German giant Deutsche Bank, as the investment bank used to purchase at least some of the options. Skipping down, investigators' attentions previously had been drawn to Germany because of the residence there earlier in the year of some of the principal suspects in the September 11th attacks and unusual patterns in the short selling of insurance, airline, and other financial company stocks there prior to the attacks. And as was the case with the Muslim World League, I would like the help of listeners in researching the following, because even though German insurance companies such as Munich Re and Allianz experienced a significant drop in stocks running up to September 11th, and some have speculated they knew what was going to happen, the ownership of the World Trade Center is something that I have questions about. I have been told that there was at least partial capital participation in the World Trade Center by Deutsche Bank, the largest German commercial bank, and a key element of the Bormann Organization. I do not know if Deutsche Bank owns World Trade Center. They certainly had some rented some of the offices there. But one of the questions I want to ask listeners' assistance in is researching who owns the World Trade Center. Also, I'd like to know if the Muslim World League is the same as the World Muslim Congress. The reason that I ask these questions is, first of all, because obviously if someone, whoever owned the World Trade Center, is going to be picking up a lot of insurance money, and also because the Bormann Organization, the economic component of the Underground Reich that I've spoken about so many times, controls all major German corporations. That would include the insurance companies such as Munich Re and Allianz that may have lost money. It would also possibly include whoever owned the World Trade Center, and this is a question I have. We're going to turn now to the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, published in hardcover by Lyle Stewart Incorporated, in copyright 1981. The copyright, by the way, is owned by the Manning family. The reason why I asked the question about who owns the World Trade Center is, let's see what Paul Manning was discussing in the book published in 1981. One of the more stupendous investment opportunities currently interesting this West German bank, that a reference to Deutsche Bank, is the purchase of the massive World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan. Did Deutsche Bank purchase World Trade Center, or do they have capital participation in a consortium that owns World Trade Center? Would they be collecting the insurance on this? Because that would certainly more than balance off any losses by Munich Re and Allianz. And again, note the profound German connections to this attack, and the many articles talking about that. Yet another article in the San Francisco Chronicle, Saturday, September 29th of the year 2001, article by Dan Egan and Bob Woodward of the Washington Post, headlined, Terror Plot Secrets Emerge. Subheaded operation cost $500,000 and began years ago in Germany, investigators say. Reads in part, meanwhile, in the hours following the attacks, German intelligence agents intercepted a phone conversation between jubilant followers of bin Laden that left the FBI to search frantically for two more teams of suicide hijackers, officials in both countries told the New York Times. As the authorities across the world try to piece together the conspiracy, the German intercept remains a key clue. Skipping down again, the FBI is doubling its contingent of agents working on the investigation in Germany in the belief that the trail will lead from there to the Middle East. So the German connection looming large. And again, is the Muslim World League the same thing, both funded by the Saudi government and the Saudi royal family, the same thing as the Grand Mufti-founded World Muslim Congress involved in the Afghan support effort, also financed by the Saudi royal family? I do not know. And again, did Deutsche Bank purchase the World Trade Center, or are they involved in terms of capital participation in the ownership of the World Trade Center? If so, they'll be collecting the insurance. This concludes side two. Well, first of all, let me remind you that all of the tapes that I've done over the years are available on tape and CD from Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Email mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. You can visit their website, their real audio-equipped website, at www.spitfirelist.com. There are descriptions of the shows that are available, and there are links between the For the Record section and two websites run by sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey. More recent For the Record programs are streaming at wfmu.org/Dave Emory, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y. There are other For the Record programs soon to include virtually the entire series available for download only on a longer URL that has links from both the WFMU and For the Record section of the Spitfire websites. That concludes side two of For the Record program number 330, Connecting the Dots, part four. This is being recorded on October 14th, of the year 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.